Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you so much. And let me just say what a blessing it's been to be here this week, these two nights, and to hear Brother Hicks this morning and last night. Man, what preaching. Good night. Was it wonderful? And then all that music. Amazing, isn't it? I mean, listen, I mean, they ought to charge you to get in here for this. It's great. It really is. It's a blessing. And it is a blessing to be in church. It really is. What a blessing. It's good to see all of you tonight. Some of you I know, some of you don't. Good to see. Seen Brother Manning come in back there a while ago. Spoke to him. It's good to see him, a good friend, and all the rest of him, Brother Fowler and his son and his wife. And Brother Bob, good to see you. Man, you've dropped some weight since I've seen you. He looks good, don't he? He looks healthy. Looks like he's doing good. I'll tell you what. God, you better drop before you get my age. I'll tell you right now. It's rough, man. You get in them 60s and try to do anything about it. I'll tell you right now. Especially if you like to eat. I'll tell you, I like to eat. And had a good meal today, and I appreciate the good meal, preacher. I appreciate the nice room over there, the motel. It's so nice. I was telling Brother Connor yesterday, he took me over the room, and he opened the door and let me in there. I said, man, it's a nice room. I said, I bet you Paul stayed in something like this, you know. Well, you know he didn't, did he? Hey, you know what, he's in jail most of the time, wasn't he? Or in some place sleeping outdoors or in an old barn or a jail or something like that. You know, we're spoiled. God's been good to us.
Yes, sir.
But nevertheless, I appreciate everything. I really do. And the opportunity to be here and just be a part of all this. It's great. You got a good church here. Great church. And I hope you know it. Amen. And I hope you'll thank God for it and be thankful for what you have while you got it.
Amen.
You see, I tell our people all the time, you better thank God for it. I'm not telling them to necessarily thank God for me, but thank God for what you're getting to be in, because things can change, you know, and you don't want that to happen, but it does. And so, buddy, while the coffee's brewing, wake up and smell it, amen? While it's on the stove, man, enjoy it, and then sip of it every now and then. Enjoy the things of God.
Yeah.
The good things. Learn to enjoy the things God gives you. If He gives you a good church, man, thank God for it. You know, I go a lot of places and preach where they don't have piano player. They don't have anybody to lead singing. They don't have any choir. I preach in a lot of places. It's like they don't have anything like that. And so when you got those things, you better thank God for it. You know, you better thank the Lord. Well, let me get out of the way. I've preached too long twice. Please don't let me do it. Don't let me do it again tonight. I don't want to do it. You know, I got convicted many years ago. I went to the Sword of the Lord Conference way back yonder. I'm talking about 80s, early 80s. And I heard a man preach. I got to know him a little bit later. Talked to him on the phone just before he died there. And a lady in my church that's dying right now with cancer was saved under A.V. Henderson, Dr. A.V. Henderson. He baptized her, and her whole family was saved under their members of our church. And I went in this Sword of the Lord conference. Dr. Henderson got up to preach. The preacher, when they said, come on, Dr. Henderson, right there, he said, take your Bible, turn to so-and-so, and he was walking up here preaching. In 18 minutes, he preached, Brother Bob, and I'm talking about he preached, buddy. And give you something in 18 minutes. And then closed his Bible and went and sat down. And when he did, you said, whoa, my soul. 18 minutes. Said, God, I can't hardly get from a chair over here in 18 minutes. But hey, isn't that great?
No.
Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I ain't going to get it done in 18 minutes, but I'm going to try to do it a little better than I've been doing. I'll tell you that. Take your Bibles, turn to 2 Samuel chapter, let's see here, chapter number 1. 2 Samuel chapter number 1 and verse number 17. And so I've enjoyed being with your pastor and the staff here at the church. I love your preacher and love this staff here, the people here, and then Brother Hicks. God bless him. What a good preacher. And then, of course, you get to hear him again tonight. And then you get to hear Brother Bob Gray and Brother Jenkins. You get to hear both those good preachers. What preachers? Man, you look. You listen, you're hearing some goods in these fellows here. You really are. And I'd be glad to be here to sit back in here and listen and enjoy hearing what they preach. But tonight, I'm going to give you something here. This is a little bit kind of something I preach at my church. Really, I don't know if it's a message you'd preach out in a conference or anything, but it's just something on my heart. It has been for years, and I've preached it at my church. I don't know if I've ever preached this sermon anywhere else. I don't know that I have. I might have. I don't remember if I have or not. But it's just something that just sort of is on my mind. I want to help you with something. Like this will help you. But I think I'm several years too late to preach this to our group of people. But you're going to see what I'm talking about tonight. In 2 Samuel 1, verse 17, said, "And David lamented over this lamentation, with this lamentation over Saul and over Jonathan his son. Also he bade them teach the children of Judah the use of the bow. Behold, it is written in the book of Jasher, the beauty of Israel is slain upon the high places. How are the mighty fallen? Tell it not in Gath, publish it not in the streets of Ascalon, lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice, and lest the daughters of the uncircumcised triumph. Ye mountains of Galboa, let there be no dew, neither let there be rain upon you, nor fields of offering, for there the shield of the mighty is vilely cast away, the shield of Saul, as though he had not been anointed with oil, from the blood of the slain, from the fat of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan turned not back, and the sword of Saul returned not empty. And Saul and Jonathan were lovely and pleasant in their lives, and in their death they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles. They were stronger than lions. Ye daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you in scarlet with other delights, who put ornaments of gold upon your apparel. How are the mighty fallen in the midst of the battle, O Jonathan? Thou wast slain in the high places. I am distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant hast thou been unto me. Thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. How are the mighty fallen and the weapons of war perished?" Now, I want you to look at verse 20 real quick again with me, if you would. And it says, "Tell it not in Gath, publish it not in the streets of Ascalon, lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice, lest the daughters of the uncircumcised triumph." Now, you don't have to turn here. What I'm going to turn now, but I'm going to read one verse. In the book of Micah, chapter 1, verse 10, "Declare ye not it at Gath, weep ye not at all in the house of Aphrah. Roll thyself in the dust. Declare it not in Gath." Now let's pray. Now, our Father, Lord, if I've even preached this sermon except in my church one Sunday night, I don't ever remember it, but I sort of feel like tonight is what I ought to preach. I don't know why. I just feel like this is it. So please help me, Lord, as I try to preach tonight, to not say one word that you wouldn't say if you were standing here. And Jesus, I want to be a blessing to the people. I pray you'll help me to do so tonight. I wouldn't hurt anybody in the world. Lord, I'm trying to help, and I pray that you'd help me to be a blessing. Thank you for these good folk that are here tonight. God bless these good preachers that have come also, and these good workers in this church that have cleaned and practiced songs and worked and got ready and invited and those that are in the nurseries. And God, you've just been good to us this week, and thank you for all that you've done. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I'm preaching to you tonight on this thought tonight. Tell it not in Gath. Tell it not in Gath. Now, here's what happened. An Amalekite came running back to tell David, this young soldier, come running, and he thought he was bringing good news. He thought he was bringing good news to the king. And what happened was the battle that happened on Mount Gilboa when Saul, his boys, and the army of Israel was up there fighting the Philistines. The Philistines overrun them and killed them because Samuel was, you know, was raised from the dead by the witch of Endor there. And that's always been an amazing thing to me. That's always been unbelievable to me, except to just say this. That I believe God really did allow Samuel to come up. I really believe that it was Samuel. I don't think it was something like Samuel. It was Samuel. And I'll tell you something else. I believe old Saul was saved. And I'll tell you why I believe he was. Samuel said to him, tomorrow you and your boys will be here with me. Amen. Well, Brother Gray, I'm no Bible scholar, but I can sure tell you this. I know if he says you're going to be with me tomorrow, I know Samuel was saved. And where he was at was in paradise. And he said, Saul, you and your boys going to be here tomorrow too. I think he wasn't right with God. And God wasn't on speaking terms with him. That's why he had to go see the witch. Right. But anyhow, the battle took place. And in the midst of the battle, Jonathan was killed and the other boys was killed there on Mount Gilboa. And then finally, Saul saw that he was going to die. And actually, in some ways, he really committed suicide. He fell on his own spear here, his weapon, fell on it, and was dying, but was suffering bad. And along come this Amalekite. Boy, God knows what he's doing. I'm telling you, listen, God don't miss it nowhere. You know, if old Saul had killed them Amalekites like he was supposed to, they wouldn't have been one left here to kill. It was that one that come running by that Saul said, hey, son, hold it. Listen, please help me. What do you need? What do you need? He said, I'm dying and can't live and I'm suffering awful. Please kill me. And this boy accommodated and finished him off. Well, then he got the bracelets off his arms and got his identification badge and all of his different things off of him and went running to David and thinking that I'm bringing good news into the camp of King David to tell him that his arch enemy, Saul, is dead. And when he told him there, and you read it, he said, he's dead. David grabbed him up by the lapels and pulled him up and said, how in the world, how could you raise your hand against God's anointed? Then David breaks down and begins to weep over Saul. I'll tell you, David was something, boy. I'll tell you he was. And he began to weep over Jonathan and over Saul and Saul's family. And then he turned and said, take him out and kill him. Take that Amalekite out and kill him. And kill him. And then David got his army together and he said, I want everybody to hear me. And I want to talk to you and I want to tell you something. I don't want nobody going and publishing this thing and telling about the death of Saul.
Right.
He said, tell it not. In Gath.
Yes, amen.
Now, old David better thank God he was living before the day of electricity. That's all I'm telling. Bless God, if it had been this time, that Amalekite would have had it on the www.com before David could ever said anything to him. Are y'all know what y'all following me? See, hey, he had took about 40 pictures. And mailed all them pictures, and then he'd have got every enemy that there was, and said, "I got good news. He's gone." But David, now this was David's enemy. This man tried to kill David for years, and David said, "Tell it not in Gath." You know where Gath was? That's where Goliath's hometown. That was the town of the enemies. That was the town. You know what he said? If they hear about this, they're going to throw a party. He said, they'll dance in the streets in Ashkelon. And they'll rejoice. They'll have a party. The world will have a party. Now here's the sermon. It's short and sweet. Tell it not in Gath. I'm going to tell y'all something. And you can believe whatever you want to believe. I'm not an old preacher, but I've been around a good while. And I'm going to tell you something. And I'm an independent Baptist.
Amen.
Independent Baptist. But I'm going to tell you something. Preacher, we there for a good long while, and even now, listen, we shot ourselves. And by the way, lots of it, we hurt our churches and hurt our cause.
Yes. Right.
Thinking we was being macho and fundamental. Now, don't you think I'm weak on that. I'm against everything I've ever been against in my life.
Yes.
Listen, man, I'm against, cussing, lying, stealing, gambling, dancing. I'm against everything I've ever been against. I mean, everything. I mean, immodest dress, I'm against everything I've been against. But listen to this thing. But I ain't mad at everybody.
That's right.
You see, they such things take the right stand, having the right spirit.
Right.
Hey, look at me just a minute. Everybody just listen up real close.
Come on,
listen to me. You know that woman down yonder in the streets of Philippi, that demon-possessed woman followed Paul and Silas around.
Yeah.
And listen, this woman now had a devil in her, but listen to her message. She said, these men are the servants of the Most High God. Brother Manning,
yes,
spot on it.
Right.
They were. Silas had God on him. Paul had God on him.
Yeah.
What she was saying, right? But it grieved Paul.
Yeah.
Right.
Many days she did. Finally, Paul said, enough of this mess. Now that ain't in there. But Brother Gray, he said, hey, enough of this. This is going to stop right here. He said, this woman's got a devil in her. And look, I don't want her going around doing what she's doing. Everybody knows that she ain't right. But she's telling everybody, we need to get her saved where she can really blame on Jesus and tell out the gospel. Well, you know what was wrong? She had the right message in the wrong spirit.
Yes,
she had the right message and she had the wrong spirit. Let me tell you something, friend. You can take a stand against sin and hate sin, but you can stand and still love people.
Yes,
sir. Hey, let me tell you something. You know, you can still feed the chickens and still feed them and lay the corn out there sort of like this, and they'll get all around your feet and just eat it, where you stand back and start throwing it like a 12-gauge shotgun throwing buckshot, and they'll go every which direction.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you something, friend, that what we ought to do, we ought to hate the devil. I mean, I preach harder now against liquor and the liquor traffic than I've ever preached in my life. And dope and adultery and shacking up and all that kind of stuff. I'm not for that. Man and woman live together, they ought to have a license. They ought to be married. They ought to stand for the man of God, get married, say amen. Hey, I believe, listen, I still believe for of dressing appropriate. Men ought to look like men. Women ought to look like women. Hey, I'm still for every bit of that. Don't you think I'm soft? I'm not soft. But what I am is, and I hate the devil. But let me tell you something, friend. What we've got to do is learn that Gath don't need to know everything that goes on in your church.
Amen.
Hey, and in your house.
Amen.
See, Gath is the barber shop.
Yeah.
Gath is the beauty parlor.
Come on. Yes.
Gath is Walmart.
Yes. Yes.
See, let me tell you something. Gath is the world. Let me tell you, this church, and I don't know if this sermon's even make no sense. This is sort of like a Sunday school lesson, I reckon. But what I'm doing is trying to get you to see that inside the walls of this church, this is a family.
Yes.
You understand? Yes. This is a church family here. Yes. Anchor Baptist Church. Now, here's the thing of it is. Actually, this is what I think. Church business, what goes on in the church, if something goes wrong in the church, it ought to pretty much just stay in the church.
Amen.
Hey, it ain't nobody's business outside.
Amen.
Are y'all following me? Now, here's the thing. If you really want to get wild about talking, get you a fistful of tracts.
Amen.
And say, hey, I go to Anchor Baptist Church. And listen, let me give you something to tell you how to be saved.
Yeah.
And then you can talk about the church all you want to and tell them that we got a good Bible-believing church. But what's going on here, don't discuss it.
Amen.
Hey, listen, let me just give you this out. You know what Paul said? Paul said, boys, don't tell this in Gath. I mean, they will be having parties. They hated Saul. And they hated Jonathan. And there was people standing there probably thinking, well, man, Saul hated you. It looked like to me you'd be rejoicing. You're seeing a real Christian right here.
Yes.
Hey, you know what? The world, you know, I was reading the other day, Brother Gray, about Peter and John when they went up to that temple, and it said that man sitting outside the church that was crippled, he said he looked at them expecting to receive something, expecting something from them. Hey, the world has a right to expect something out of me. But listen, I'm just going to be honest with you. I go out on Monday mornings. If my offerings is down, ain't nobody in the community going to know it unless somebody in my church went and told. I ain't telling it.
That's right.
And by the way, if they're up, I ain't telling it.
Right.
Now, if somebody says, preacher, did your church have a good day? Yes, I said, it was great, man. The auditorium was full of people. We had some folks saved and baptized, and God was good, and people worked hard and brought people. And then that's it.
Yes, sir.
That's it. I ain't going to tell them everything I know would happen there and break their heart. Listen, I got home today and checked my telephone. I had about 6 calls on there, and I literally sat in my room and cried.
Yes, sir.
Over people, listen, with heartaches and burdens. But wait a minute. Gath can't do nothing about it nohow.
Right.
And Gath don't even care. Hey, don't tell Gath, tell God. Don't tell Gath, tell God. Now listen, here's a sermon. Number one. Tell it not in Gath of the fallen. Hey, do you know something? If somebody in this church, listen to what I'm going to tell you. If somebody in this church or a preacher you know somewhere runs off with a woman and you find it out, let me tell you, the best thing to do, don't call nobody, don't even tell nobody. First of all, let me tell you something, what it'll do. If you dwell on that stuff, Brother Fowler, it'll get you so down. It'll get you so depressed. Hey, I know I've had things happen in my church where somebody throwed a shoe and went and done some crazy something, and I mean just messed up. But I was at the point I didn't even want it out there. Now, I wasn't trying to cover up anything. It was just that it was not going to help the cause of Christ.
Amen.
To talk about it.
Amen.
It won't help.
Right.
Now, I'm going to tell you something. You listen to what I'm telling you. Do not tell it in Gath of the fallen. It don't glorify God. The world rejoices over it. They rejoice. You ain't never going to hear NBC or CBS or ABC or CNN get on and say, we got some good news we'd like to tell y'all today. There's a church down in Longview, Texas, had 1,200 in Sunday school yesterday, had 42 saved and 16 baptized, and had their buses come in with loads of people on them. And Brother Gray preached Sunday night, and the place come apart, shouting him down, and he preached, and they had a great day there at their church. They're not going to do that. And they're going to say, now we take you up to Ohio to Anchor Baptist Church and tell you about their Faith Harbor Week, and they had a packed building every night, and Brother Hicks was there, and Brother Cox was there, and Brother Gray and Brother Jenkins come in there, and man, you ought to have heard that choir. And now we're going to go over and tell you about beautiful Minnie, Kentucky.
Amen.
They ain't going to do it, brother.
Amen.
Hey, but I'll tell you what you do. You foul up and you see if they ain't got that on there.
Right.
Yeah, I have that. It'll be in the paper, but wait a minute. Let them find out however they want to find out, but don't publish it.
Amen.
Hey, listen, and listen, I would to God, I guarantee you, that out of the preachers in this room right here and about all of them, listen, I'm last on the list. I'm the sorriest Christian of the bunch. But I will say this. You ain't going to see nowhere on no phone, no website, no nothing. If you seen something, somebody lied and put my name under it.
Yeah.
You ain't going to see nothing. I sent nobody. I ain't on there. I'm not going to do it. I ain't going to get on a computer. And even if somebody did, if you said, well, they criticize you. If they do, guess what? I don't own one. I'll never see it.
Amen.
And I'm still happy. Because, hey, I ain't hearing from Gath. You ain't going. You can't get me on there because, hey, I don't never look at it. Now, there might be somebody. I've had people walk up to me and say to me, I saw your picture somewhere on something. I said, is that right? They'll say, yeah. I said, yeah, I was up there. And then I'm walking, I'm thinking, well, how in the name of the Lord did you see my picture? I don't know. Somebody was took my picture, put it on. But I'll tell you what, buddy, I didn't mash no button to send it. Hey, I ain't snapped it. Hey, and I guarantee you, if they see this, it wasn't me criticizing nobody. I ain't going to do it. Hey, it ain't, look, I ain't telling it in Gath. Hey, that bunch of giant loving ball bat carrying crowd down there, all they going to want to do is fight.
Yeah.
I ain't getting with that Gath crowd.
Amen.
Get you some gospel tracts and get out and go soul winning. Hey, who's got time for all that?
Come on.
Man, it takes time and effort and stuff to get into Gath. It takes a lot of you gotta waste a lot of time. Then you get frustrated. And then somebody says something, then you gotta say something back, then Gath answers you, and then you gotta say something back. Hey, listen to this right here. I've learned something. I've learned some things. I had an independent fundamental Baptist preacher ask me one day, and a guy, people know. He said, "Can I ask you a question?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "Man, you crossed a lot of lines in the independent Baptist." He meant that thing called camps. Yeah. And I, hey, look, you say, "What camp?" I ain't in no camp.
Right.
I'm in the body of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I'm a Baptist by doctrine and my faith, and I'm a Baptist. Now, I don't go over here and preach for charismatics and all that. I don't do that. But you know what I do? I preach for guys that don't even like one another. This guy said, "Well, I don't have nothing to do with him. I only talk to him." But what if? But I happen to love them both.
Yes.
But let me tell you why a lot of them are divided is because of Gath.
Yes. Right.
Gath divided them. Somebody put something on up there.
Right.
Somebody wrote something and put something on and published it.
Yes, sir.
And nothing to do with nothing.
Yep.
That's good.
I'd love to see somebody just a few times on there just put, "Man, praise the Lord for God's rich blessings out of heaven on us." I mean, just glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Thank God for the virgin birth and the blood atonement, and thank God for an opportunity to teach Sunday school. I said, now you can run to Gath and throw that out there. You know why? Because Gath won't eat it. You know what my mother-in-law, she's in heaven now, good, a godly woman. They live, now you listen, you talk about country. We lived in the mountains of West Virginia. I'm talking about country. I mean, I'm talking about real country. And my mother-in-law would throw her, she'd throw her table scraps over the bank out there. They lived on about a 300-acre farm. She'd walk in and throw table scraps over the bank. And one night she got to hearing something around her house. She turned her back light on. She lived by herself. And looked out. And there's about a 300 or 400-pound black bear standing up against the house, scratching his back on the gutter. She said, "Man, he was that tall." And she said, "Huge." She said, "I don't know what to do about him." I said, "I'll tell you what to do with him. Quit feeding him." Hey, because if you keep putting supper out there, one of these nights you're not going to do it and he's going to come in the kitchen. Hey, quit feeding that backslid bear. Are y'all listening? You're bringing in the bear. Hey, and let me tell you something. If you don't want bears and tigers and wolves, lions and tigers and bears, hey, if you don't want them around, don't feed them. Hey, see, people, Christians, feeds on good stuff. Lambs, a lamb and a wolf don't eat the same stuff.
That's right.
A lamb and a wolf, and I'll tell you, you watch how they walk, and you ever seen a wolf track, you won't forget it. Yeah, I thought a wolf track was something like this right here one day. Then I saw one day. Hey, a wolf track's that big, man. They're big as your hand. You ever see a sheep, he's got hoofs, and they walk different. And I tell you, they won't eat the same thing. A sheep will walk right by while an old wolf will gobble up. You take a dead animal laying there, a wolf will eat every bit of it. You know, he'll eat every bit of it, blood and all. A lamb will walk right on by it. Are y'all listening?
Yeah.
Now let me tell you something. You don't send stuff to Gath to feed wolves. You don't want them swarming around, and you don't want bad company, you don't want bad things around you, don't feed them.
Yeah.
Quit feeding it. Hey, always, if you put something on there, think real hard before you do it. I'm gonna quit here. I'm about done. I said that 3 times more before I quit, didn't I? Hey, then let me say this right here. Don't tell it in Gath of the fallen. Somebody in your church messes up, don't go down here and tell it.
Amen.
Well, we had somebody messed up yesterday. We had somebody run off with this or done that. Don't tell it. That's in Gath. keep it in the house. Hey, when I was a kid, this is one of the things about our house. My daddy wasn't even saved. But I'll tell you what you better not do. We wouldn't do anything in the house that a regular family would do. But buddy, they'd have better nobody tell my daddy that I come to the school and told something about what went on at our house.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Hey, that was just against. We didn't do that.
Yes,
you know what that meant? That meant a bad whipping.
Yes, sir.
You've been talking about something you don't know nothing about.
Yes, sir. Right.
That's exactly right. He said, they don't need to know that. That's in our house. Hey, the next thing is, tell it not in Gath of the foe's fate. Hey, this is David's enemy. Let me tell you something. If somebody that does not like you, somebody that you know is not for you, not for your church here, not for what you're doing, if they fall, don't publish it in Gath.
Right, amen.
Hey, you know why? You know what the Bible says about that? Proverbs 24:17-18, right. When thine enemy falleth, let not thine heart be glad.
Yes.
When he stumbleth,
yes. Right.
Lest the Lord see it,
yep.
And it displease him.
Right.
Right. Right.
Hey, lest the Lord see it. You know what I wrote down the other day? There, whenever that Aaron and Miriam criticized Moses. Let me tell you what it says after they did that. It says, and what they said, it said, and the Lord heard it. Hey, he sees it and he hears it.
Amen.
But here's what's bad. He's going to do something about it.
Amen.
You rejoice over somebody who says, well, I guess they got what they had coming. Hey, let me tell you something tonight. There's something wrong with your heart.
Amen.
Hey, if you can rejoice over anybody suffering. You know what? I just made a thing in my life is this right here. I don't know how many people I've had through the years to leave my church, but every one of them I can remember, and every one that I can, I got a good long list of them. But you know what I do? Every day I call them and their kids' names out to God in prayer to ask him to bless them.
Amen.
You say, why? I don't want the Lord to be mad with me. You said, do you mean it? You prayed for God to bless them and help them? Absolutely. Man, I had a guy who was a deacon in my church for 30-some years. And he really didn't want to leave. It was just a sort of thing. But he had to leave. And he came in one day and told me he was leaving. I sat down and cried like a baby. But listen to this right here. Do you mean to tell me that I'm going to be that guy's enemy? And he helped me and run bus routes for 30 years? Hey, you know, somewhere about this thing, we just need to get Christian.
Amen.
We just need, really, honestly, what we need to do is just be Christian about things.
That's right.
Hey, I'm just simply saying, folks, I'm gonna be honest with y'all. There ain't a bunch of us left.
Right.
I'm talking about old-fashioned right-wing, fundamental, King James, bus running, missionary supporting, independent Baptist people.
Amen.
Our stripe. They ain't a lot of this left.
Right.
So here's what I'm saying. What in the world would I benefit trying to fight the people that we're wearing the same uniform? Hey, more than that, we're brothers by birth. I got two brothers. I'm just being honest with you. We used to little old kid stuff, we'd scrap fight stuff. But listen, right now, my dad and mother's in their 80s. And I told my mom and daddy the other day, she said, well, she said, now, Darryl, you're the oldest. Now, when me and your daddy dies there, I got wrote down in there that I want you to oversee everything, you know, I guess what you call that, executor or whatever you want to call it. I said, Mom, look, as far as I'm concerned, for my part, you can give brothers everything. I said, I won't ever live up here again. I don't need anything. I said, God took good care of me. And I said, you know, Mark ain't got no house. I said, for my part, I just go ahead. I mean, if my other brother's for it, I said, sign over, give him the house, give him everything in it. If the other agree to it, I just don't want no trouble. Hey, and I don't want anything. I wouldn't divide over somebody over some silly something, a car or a piece of land or something. It don't mean nothing to me. Hey, let me tell you something. A lot of stuff, what we divide over in churches is not doctrine.
Amen.
I've never in my life, in all the years I've been preaching, I've never had a person come to me and say, I'm leaving your church because you do not believe the Bible and stand on the Word of God and believe the Baptist doctrine. Never had the first one. It's always some petty, silly something. People leave over, and listen, but look, I ain't telling that in Gath. I ain't commenting. And if my foe, if God sees fit, somebody that doesn't like me and God sees fit to let something bad come their way, if I can some way to really be a blessing, I'd like to be a blessing for good.
Amen.
I'd like to be a blessing to them for good if there's some way I can do it. Oh, let me tell you something. This stuff of Gath, buddy, they run with this stuff and make fun of it. Hey, let me say this right here. Let me give you this one last point, and I'm just going to quit. Hey, tell it not in Gath of your family feuds.
Amen.
2 Samuel, David, in 2 Samuel chapter 6, I believe it is. Turn back in, let's see if it ain't about right. 2 Samuel chapter number 6. Let me look right here. Yeah. Hey, you know something? And I said something about this last night, I believe. David was married, and really, I'll be honest with you, I think he got it. I mean, this is a bad deal, but really Saul has set this whole thing up for David to marry Michael. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. Bless God, I'll tell you, it's tough sometimes to live with the one you chose to love. It'd be rough, bud, to live with somebody else picked out and handed to you, wouldn't it? That would be rough on me, I'll be honest with you. Say, here you go. King or no king. Whatever. He said, I want you to have Mike. And by the way, now Michael did love David, but buddy, she was something else because he said she'll be a snare.
Yeah, that's right.
It was really set up to be a trap.
Right.
And old David comes into Jerusalem, they're bringing the Ark of the Covenant back in. He said, the presence of God's with us. And he was shouting. And listen to this right here, and praising God, clapping his hands. And you know what? When it says there, she talked about him being unclothed. You know what he done, Brother Rob? I think he just took his old coat off and throwed it.
Amen.
I just think he took his coat off, just give it a sling off to the side. I think he was proper for it being dressed. You know, it's just, there's no much water. You know, they took their coat off. Hey, I seen a video of Billy Sunday preaching, Brother Bob. And listen, he got to preaching out on a tabernacle platform. On an open air thing, looked like there's 10,000, 15,000 people there hearing him. Hey, he come out of his coat, then his tie, then his shirt, and he was in a tank top t-shirt, walking around like a banty rooster, preaching all over that place. You said, you think that's proper? I'd be afraid to say anything about Billy Sunday. God might kill you, amen? Hey, I'll tell you what they said. They said he won 1 million souls. You better leave some 1 million people to God alone. I ain't messing with him. Hey, I was reading today my devotions about old Elisha and them 42 kids was out there. Hey, and it says little kids. And they said, hey, old bald head, go up. Meaning like Elijah. And listen, buddy, 2 she-bears come out of the woods. I don't know why I keep mentioning bears. Bears come out and it says and teared them to pieces. Yeah, you better. And by the way, if you want to have a good, healthy home, teach your kids to love and respect other people. Hey, you ought to point them to your pastor and the staff up here, and to the pianist and your organist and your choir director and the Sunday school teachers and the people. And listen, you ought to lift them up, even if you know that there's a weakness in their life. You still say, hey, because I got news for you, buddy. Every one of us is limping.
Amen.
Am I telling it right? Say amen.
Amen.
But here it is. You ain't going to see. Now, God shut up the womb of Michael because she criticized her husband. But David didn't publish it.
Right.
David wasn't critical of her. Now, God judged her. But David didn't. I'm going to tell you something. Folks, in God's dear name, what goes on in your marriage and with your children, and I ain't up here just preaching against computers and all that. You can't preach. Look, they've took over the world. You ain't going to win preaching against them. And by the way, let me say this. If the internet system was used right, if it was used the way it should be by Christians, let me tell you something. Brother Connor, we could evangelize planet Earth in 7 days. We could evangelize the world if Christians would just say, nothing but the gospel's going off this thing. Think how many people could hear the gospel. Now, and I'm not saying to not to keep in touch with friends or something. I ain't saying that. That ain't bad. But friends, you better be real careful and say, God, I don't want to put nothing on this thing that would ever even look a little shady. I don't want nothing on here. And by the way, you ever put something on there, ma'am, to ever be critical of your husband and then send it out and other people see that? You know what you're doing? You're shipping information to Gath that's going to come back. The world's going to have a party with it. And I'm telling you right now, hey, about your family things, keep it in the family. If you need counsel, need to go see the preacher, whatever, that's a different thing. You go do that. But don't you put things on there. I mean, I don't understand stuff. I reckon it was being raised in the mountains and backwoods and all that, and I don't understand things. But I don't understand somebody saying, I got up this morning and brushed my teeth and then sent it to the whole world. And I gargled with salt water and spit and it was green and then sent that out. And then I combed my hair, but it wouldn't lay down the back, got a cowlick. And then I went to bath and there wasn't no soap. And then send that to the world. Now, I'm just being honest with y'all. You need to get you a life. You need a job, neighbor. Tell it not in Gath. That's full. You're showing your ignorance. Hey, I'm ignorant and know it. But let me tell you something. I'm smart enough not to put that stuff on there. Hey, but what I was going to say, well, I'm done. I've had people ask me, man, how in the world, here, preach, hold my Bible so I won't preach no more. I'm through, Rob. I'm through, and we'll let you preach. I've had people say, well, man, how do you get, I mean, you go over here and preach, and you stay busy all the time. I mean, you go all the time. Last year, I preached 40 meetings. The year before that, I preached about 40. That's a lot of meetings. Hey, and here's my hand to heaven. I have never, Brother Bob, in my life, never, and I'll never do it. I've never made a phone call and said, could you have me? I ain't going to do that. You say, why? Because here's what does. The one that called me, he called me, and here's how I got it figured. I surrendered. Now it's up to him to open doors.
Amen.
That's the way I got it figured. You said, well, what if the door don't open? I got it made. I'll stay at the house.
That's right.
You say, well, what's everybody going to do? I don't know what they're going to do, but I don't know what I'm going to do. I got a wife I've been married to 44 years. I got them 6 grandkids I'd like to see once in a while. And I'm going to tell you something, what I ain't going to do, I ain't going to fight everybody in America.
Amen.
Now, you can put this on anything you want to put it on. Because this, hey, all this is Christian.
Right.
Now, if I was going to fight something, fight that crowd that says they started a church and they serving drinks after church, I'll hit that bunch. Somebody said they got a church going, but we serve beer after church. Hey, that's blasphemy, friend. That ain't church. And I'll preach all day against that. But you know what? If somebody's preaching the gospel, I'm like Bob Jones Sr. Old Bob Jones Sr. said, if a hound dog comes through town barking for Jesus, throw him a pork chop. Throw him a biscuit. You say, why? He's getting the gospel out.
Amen.
You say, well, so and so don't agree with you. Christ is preached and I therein do rejoice.
Amen.
But I will not tell it in Gath.
Amen.
The only thing I need to do about Gath is go to Gath and say, friend, God loves you.
Amen.
Amen.
And I do too, and that's why I'm here to tell you Jesus loves you. Let's pray. Well, our Father, I really don't even know tonight why you want me to preach that. Really wasn't even a sermon. I guess it was just maybe some information. I don't know. But Lord, I sure hope somebody just thinks before they ever sit down and write a letter or an article or anything or even put something on a phone or a computer in haste and in anger and in hurt and send something, and then somebody else gets hurt and somebody that read it got hurt and somebody got offended. Lord, I try to be careful on the radio when I'm on the radio, just being extra careful to never say anything so I can take and run to Gath with it and the devil get glory. Lord, I pray as Brother Hicks comes in a little bit to preach, I pray you'll use him. I sure thank you for this church and the pastor and the good people. Thank you for what you do for us in Jesus' name. Amen. Preacher, you come on.